Welcome back to The Spirit According to the Word. This is episode 8, I think? 8. We'll call it 8. If it's not 8, then you'll see that. Anyway, we're continuing our study of what the Holy Spirit says about Himself in the Scriptures. And we are in the Old Testament. Last episode, we saw how the Spirit provided abilities to serve God. He gave those abilities to Bezalel and Aholiab to build the tabernacle, to Zerubbabel to oversee the reconstruction of the temple, to the former prophets, and also to the prophet Ezekiel to do their work, and also to Daniel to understand and to interpret dreams. And so continuing that thought of the Holy Spirit providing ability, I want to consider really one context where you see the Holy Spirit giving people the ability to serve others. And that comes in Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, of course, here, the book of Numbers is all about marching and murmuring. They're marching through the wilderness and they're complaining. And, you know, verse 1 starts out, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. I wonder if it displeases the Lord today. It's interesting. So they did all that. And then verse 11, Moses is discouraged about it. He goes to God and he's like, what did I do to make you mad? Why are you making me put up with all these people? And, you know, he's like, look, if this is the way it's going to be, God, if I have to deal with all these people, just go ahead and put me out of my misery. I'm done. And God says, calm down, Moses. I have a plan. Here's more work to do. You know, and so often, right, that's when we have a problem and we take that problem to God, we may very well find that that solution is more work for us to do. And that work was for Moses to go and find 70 other men. Of course, this would become the precursor to what ultimately became the Sanhedrin Council that crucified Jesus and persecuted the apostles, killed Stephen, that kind of thing, right?
Of course, in this example, isn't this more work now for less work later?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's the key thing here is God's telling Moses to delegate. And by the way, that's something important to do in the church, right? I mean, you can't have a preacher doing all the things for the congregation. But if the congregation works together to do those things, you know, many hands make light work. So here we are in Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. The Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, who you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And it's interesting, by the way, here in verse 17, the King James, I will take of the Spirit that is upon you. That word Spirit is lowercase here.
Capitalized in New King James.
Yeah, so this is the Spirit, presumably the Holy Spirit, that is upon Moses, that enabled him to turn his rod into a serpent, make his hand leprous, and turn the water into blood, and part the Red Sea, and to be that great prophet and that leader of the people, right? That's the Holy Spirit working in Moses as that prophet. And so here God says, I'm going to take that same Spirit, that Holy Spirit, and put him in these 70 other men so that they can help you with this burden of the people. And by the way, God acknowledges it is a burden, Moses. I'm not happy about it either.
One person can't do everything.
That's right. And so then you drop down to verse 24. It says, Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, the name of the other Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses gat him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And so what's interesting here in the King James, throughout this context, the word Spirit is not capitalized. I presume it's capitalized all the way through in the New King James?
It looks like several cases it's capitalized. It looks all the way through it is.
Yeah, and so, right, so verse 25, he says that this Spirit, God took the Spirit that was upon Moses, and he gave it to these 70 elders, and then that Spirit rested upon them, and when that happened, they began to prophesy. And verse 26, by the way, you have Eldad and Medad, who, and it's interesting, these were elders of the people, these were leaders. God specifically told Moses, choose men who are leaders, men who are well-respected, men who can be helpful to you. And that was Eldad and Medad, but then Eldad and Medad didn't show up. But still, the fact that they didn't show up didn't stop the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit rested upon them anyway. So perhaps this is one of those occasions similar to with Saul and with Balaam, that there was a little bit of persuasion going on here.
How about with Jonah? He ran, but he still needed to go.
He did, yeah. Yeah, that you know, there were some things a little bit fishy going on there with Jonah. Sorry, I couldn't resist that one. Okay.
Yeah, you're full of the notion of bad jokes, right?
Oh. Preacher jokes all day long, and dad jokes. And see, we're both, so. Okay. So Eldad and Medad, they begin prophesying. And so you have the Holy Spirit then giving these 70 men, whether they want it or not, the ability to do these things. And of course, by the way, Moses had gone out, and he'd talked to the people, and these names were written down. So Eldad and Medad, they'd been interviewed for the job, and they'd accepted the job, but then they didn't show up the first day of work. And so there's perhaps a little bit of persuasion. Maybe they got home, and their wives were like, wait, you volunteered for what?
But you know, you look at this, they didn't show up for work, but they still ended up working, because the end of verse 26 says, yet they prophesied in the camp.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah, and so that's one of those occasions. Perhaps, you know, when the Holy Spirit came upon those two men, he did or said something to them that helped to change their minds, and so they began doing the work. And of course, you know, here's Joshua saying, "We need to stop this," and Moses is like, "Are you kidding me? Absolutely not. I need more help." And so here again, we see these men who are given ability, and ultimately, right, what they were going to be doing is helping Moses to judge the people, to help the people understand God's laws, God's will for their lives, and how that applied in all these different situations. You know, there's the situation, right, where Moses is sitting from morning until evening judging the people, and all of it was, you know, well, he said this, and she did that, and what about this? And he's explaining, okay, well, this is what God said, and this is how this applies to the situation, so stop it.
You can imagine after a full day of that, he's probably ready to call it a night.
Yeah, I'm sure that Mrs. Moses wasn't getting a lot of attention through all that. She was probably glad for the help, too. And so that's kind of what these 70 guys we're going to be doing, is helping Moses with that kind of a burden, teaching the people the law and helping them to understand and work through all of these what-ifs and wherefores. And I'm so glad that we don't deal with all those types of things today.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but again, so here's the Holy Spirit who gave these men this ability. All right, consider also the Holy Spirit's involvement in giving Joshua the ability to be a leader. Look at the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. And we'll pick up, if you wouldn't mind reading, brother, verses 8 and 9.
And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses.
All right, so here again, the King James, the word spirit here is lowercase.
You know, it's interesting because in verse 9, the word spirit is also lowercase in the New King James Version.
That is interesting, right? So you've got Moses laying his hands on Joshua, and Joshua then having that spirit of wisdom that had been on Moses. And of course, that had kind of been exactly what was going to take place, that Joshua was going to succeed Moses as a leader. And in Moses' last sermon, beginning in chapter 31, it's Moses' birthday. He's 120 years old, and he's preaching on his birthday. Isn't that cool?
You can appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, and so he gives this charge to the people, and then beginning in verse 7, he gives this charge to Joshua, and saying that, you know, the Lord's going to be with you. He's not going to fail you, so be strong. And be of good courage. And so they wrote the law down. And then, of course, chapter 32 is the song of Moses. And then in chapter 33, Moses gives his blessing to each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then, of course, chapter 34, he goes up to the top of the mountain, and he is able to see the land, but not go into it, and he dies. And but before that happened, he laid his hands on Joshua, and the spirit was given to Joshua, the same spirit that had been in Moses, the spirit of wisdom. This would be, of course, the Holy Spirit. And so he gave Joshua the ability to fill Moses' shoes and to be that leader who took Israel into battle and into the promised land. And one more occasion that I want to look at where we see the Holy Spirit giving the ability, and in particular, leadership ability in the Old Testament, comes from the book of Judges. Judges chapter 3, and this is Othniel, and this is one of the judges actually that has the least written about him. He's not the shortest account of the judges, but his account's pretty short. He gets about four verses. And verse 9 of Judges chapter 3, it says, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. So this is Caleb's nephew, by the way. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, I'll get it right, king of the Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim, and the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. So verse 10, the King James here has capital S, capital L-O-R-D, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him.
That's the same in the New King James.
Yeah, and so here, the translators have made a decision, and again, one that I would agree with. It's interesting that most of these verses we've looked at these last couple episodes, the King James translation didn't capitalize any of this. The King James translation has capitalized most of it, but not all. But here we have the Holy Spirit coming upon Othniel and giving him the ability. And there were two things that we read about him doing. Number one, he judged Israel. That is, this is similar to the role that those 70 men would have taken, helping them to understand God's law and how it applied to their lives. And by the way, guys, y'all are being really bad. That's why the Mesopotamians are here. Stop that. And then the second thing that we see him doing is leading Israel into battle and bringing their deliverance and their freedom from the Mesopotamians who God had allowed to oppress them because of their sin. And so we see the Holy Spirit giving him the ability both to be a leader of the people in bringing them back to God and also in being a leader of the army in bringing victory. And of course, ultimately, that victory wasn't because Othniel was so great. It was because God was so great. All right. And then one more thought here in this episode. We also see the Holy Spirit a couple of times giving people ability to take on greater roles. And so the first place I want to look is in 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we'll begin in verse 13. And this is, shall we say, a more difficult passage. I think we're going to have some fun unpacking this. Brother, would you mind reading verses 13 through 16 here for me?
Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said to him, "Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful. Who is a skillful player of the harp, on the harp, and it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well."
Okay, we got a lot of spirits going on here, a lot of spiritual movements. Real quick, verses 13 and verse 14. The King James here says, the capital S, capital L-O-R-D, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And the same thing, verse 14, capital S, capital L-O-R-D, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Is that what you see there?
Same thing here for capitalization, yes.
Yeah, so here we see, right, the Holy Spirit, when David was anointed to be king, the Holy Spirit comes upon David. And right from this point forward, we see David's career riding a rocket ship. David has shown his faith and his faithfulness in, killing Goliath and all of the things that went on there. But here, we see David conducting himself very wisely in battle and in the king's court and among the people. He becomes a great leader, and of course, Peter tells us in Acts chapter 2 that he was a prophet of God. And of course, David wrote most of the Psalms. So a lot going on there with the Holy Spirit in David's life. And contrast, verse 14, the Holy Spirit leaves Saul. And I don't know if there's many other instances where we can specifically see this going on. And one thing that is particularly interesting to me is this is chapter 16. Chapter 15 is where Saul rebels against God and he saves Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and the best of the animals, when God specifically said, kill them all. And Saul doesn't. And he makes excuses. He's like, well, but the people wanted to. And we were going to sacrifice to God. And Samuel's like, nope, God wants obedience, not sacrifice. That's verse 22 of 1 Samuel chapter 15. Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And he goes on in that verse. He says, you've rejected the word of the Lord. He's rejected you from being king. And so now Samuel sent out to find a new king. That king is, chapter 16, verse 13, David, the young shepherd boy. And so it's interesting that the Holy Spirit did not leave Saul until after David was anointed, but yet we see Saul rebelling against God in chapter 15. How does that work?
Not only in chapter 15, but also in chapter 13.
Yeah, and so here we see the Holy Spirit being there with Saul, and Saul's sinning. And so we see that the Holy Spirit didn't keep Saul from sin. He allowed Saul to do what Saul wanted to do. And a little bit of a spoiler, we'll get there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, right, where we read that the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And we see that in Saul, that certainly, you know, the Holy Spirit probably had some things to say to Saul, like, hey, Saul, are you really sure about this, Saul? I mean, this isn't what I said, Saul. Are you really sure? But Saul did what Saul did. And the Holy Spirit allowed that.
Well, the sad thing for King Saul here is that he had it, but apparently he didn't value it enough to respect it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, that same spirit that enabled Saul to be such a great leader at the beginning of his reign, I mean, he united such a fragmented nation. Wouldn't that be nice? And did some great things. He was off to a great start, but it crumbled in his pride and in his rebellion. And now that same Holy Spirit is enabling David to become ultimately what is arguably the greatest king in the history of Israel. And that Spirit then leaving Saul. Now, verses 14 through 16, kind of interesting. You have an evil spirit from the Lord troubled Saul, the King James says. The New King James, I believe, read troubling spirit.
Distressing spirit.
A distressing spirit. So, kind of an interesting thing. So here's, you know, the King James reads, this is an evil spirit from God that troubles him. And, well, wait a minute. God's not evil. So how is God sending an evil spirit to Saul? What in the world is going on here? And so I want to take a look at a few other translations here. The English Standard Version says a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. But again, God doesn't harm people. But here's this spirit. So the New King James says a distressing spirit. I want to consider a couple of other passages. One of those is in Judges chapter 9 and verse 23. Judges chapter 9 and verse 23, and here we have Abimelech, and he was, by some accounts, he's numbered among the judges, but he was not, he was not a good guy. He was not really one of the judges, but, you know, God used him anyway, and there's some principles there, but that's really outside the scope of our study. But Judges chapter 9 and verse 22, beginning, when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren. And so here you have this, again, the same wording, an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. Well, what's going on? Well, you've got a bunch of evil guys who turn on each other. Shocking, right? And so this isn't so much that God is sending, you know, some evil spirit in there, but that God is sending, shall we say, a bad disposition amongst them. And they turn on each other and begin fighting. Think about also Exodus chapter 7 and verse 3, where God tells Moses, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Well, how did God harden Pharaoh's heart?
Well, Pharaoh didn't like the message that he heard.
That was exactly right. God hardened Pharaoh's heart by saying, Pharaoh, those are my people. Let them go.
Pharaoh didn't like it.
Yeah. And, you know, so God didn't like zap Pharaoh's heart to make him rebellious. God just told Pharaoh something that God knew. He's going to rebel against this, but this is what he needs to hear. So here we go. And so here's kind of what's happening. That's what happened with Pharaoh. You know, there's an old saying, right? The same sun which melts butter hardens clay. And, you know, what happened with Pharaoh, I mean, Pharaoh always had the option to just submit and obey God and let the people go, and God would have blessed him. But instead, he was obstinate and rebellious, and Egypt was brought to its knees. You know?
Well, you know, you think about same water when you're boiling a potato, what would it do to an egg?
Yeah, absolutely. And so then you have with Abimelech and the men of Shechem. You know, God didn't like send, you know, demons to go make them fight and argue. They did that themselves. God just allowed it to happen. And so here with Saul, another way to read this, verse 15, Saul's the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a bad disposition from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now a bad disposition from God troubles you. And so here's the idea, you know, let's bring in some music, you know? I mean, help you mellow out a little bit. Where do you think this bad disposition, this evil spirit, this troubling or distressing spirit came from? Well, I would suggest it came from chapter 15 and verse 23. You know, that Saul wasn't happy that Samuel, who had, you know, lifted him up from being a nobody and made him king, Samuel, who'd been his mentor, said, look, dude, you've messed up. It's over. You've been rejected. You're going to lose the throne. And after that, verse 35 of chapter 15, Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death, which, by the way, the day of Saul's death, Samuel was already dead. But again, that's another story for another time. But so now Saul's been told, you know, he's been filled up with pride and stubbornness because he's the high and mighty king. And now he's been told, you're rejected, and his mentor has abandoned him.
And it's not so much that his mentor wanted to, because you look at how verse 35 continues, nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but that's what needed to be done, because Saul rejected the truth.
Yeah, and so here, this evil spirit from the Lord, this is a bad disposition, and it's from the Lord, because this is how Saul is responding to the message from God. You know, here's kind of a radical contrast. Arguably the most wicked king over the northern kingdom ever was Manasseh. And when the prophets came to Manasseh and said, by the way, Manasseh, you are a bad dude, and you're going to pay, and Israel's going to pay, Manasseh repented. And at the end of his life, he was a good king.
As you mean, the southern tribes?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant. The southern tribes. You know, the other north. The north that's in the south, the southern tribes. They're north of Egypt, you know. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that correction there, brother. You know, yeah. So, I mean, Manasseh essentially got the same message that Saul got. But what a radically different response. And by the way, it was during those years that Manasseh's grandson was raised, Josiah, who was one of the best kings that the southern kingdom ever had. And so with all of these words, don't you think that Saul had the opportunity to respond in the same way that Manasseh did? I mean, yeah, Richard's over here nodding, by the way. I know you can't hear the nod, but it's there. yeah, so, I mean, this evil spirit from the Lord, this is just a bad disposition. This is Saul continuing in his response. I mean,
he's sorry that he got caught.
Yeah.
And when you're sorry you get caught, are you genuinely sorry or do you just get mad at everything?
I mean, this is essentially the difference between Peter and Judas. Both of them denied the Lord on the day of his death. Peter repented and went on to establish the church. Judas continued down that path of self-destruction. And that's the difference between Peter and Judas. It's the difference between Manasseh and Saul. And so that's what we see here. And when you think about it in that light and in that context, that really takes the difficulty out of this passage. But again, here you see, for our purposes, the Holy Spirit enabling Saul to become a great king, but not overriding Saul's will, such that Saul, through his rebellion, lost that. And then you see the Holy Spirit enabling David to become ultimately the sweet singer of Israel, and that, you know, Jesus then would become the son of David. What a compliment to David and what he did with the abilities that he was given by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so there it is, the Holy Spirit giving people abilities, and we will try to finish this up in our next episode. Thanks for joining.